everyone.
Is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And so it shall be.
Thank you. Wow. Did you hear that exciting news? Did you see that royal man in his special hat reading out that birth announcement? There's going to be a royal baby born. How exciting is that? And we have to get ready. This is my first gig, so I have to make a good impression. Hang on. I'll just get my tools up here. Okay. So, baby, let's think baby's room. What will we need in a baby's room? Calm down, Carol. There's plenty of time. Okay, what will we need in a baby's room?
A cot.
Great idea, a cot. Come on out here. Finn, come and help me find a cot. Okay, I do like, what colours do you think? I wonder if it'll be a boy or a girl. Let's use that for the cot. Can you lift that? It's pretty heavy. Yes? Oh, great. All right, let's place it over here. Okay, so we've got our cot. Not quite designer, but, you know, you have to make do. That's good. All right, I like that. Nice natural tones. Yes, good. All right, now this is a royal baby, so we better put some nice stuff in there, do you think? All right, so I found this nice royal cushion. What do you think about that, Pippa? Is that nice and soft for your face?
No.
Oh, no. Oh. Well, we don't want that then, do we? It needs to be... Sideways?
Other side.
Oh, other side. Maybe. Let's have a look. No, that's a horrible colour. No, let's not use that. Let's have a think. We're channeling natural fibres, natural colours. I think perhaps... What do you think, Janaea?
Hay.
Good idea. Come on, Janaea. I just happen to have some hay here. Could you load the baby's bed up with hay? That's good. It's looking good, do you think? Looking good so far? No?
Yes.
Yes? No?
No.
Not yet? Okay, need a bit more. Good work, Janaea. Keep going. Top it up. Now let's have a think. What did that royal announcer say about this baby that was coming? He had a couple of special names. Can anyone remember one of the names that he used?
God.
Started with Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. This baby's going to be a Wonderful Counselor. What does that even mean? We know what wonderful means, don't we? That means really, really good. Thank you, Janaea. That looks great. I love that. Love the way you've done that. Fantastic. So, Wonderful Counselor. A counselor is somebody that brings wisdom, somebody that helps us with decisions and guides us. Almost like a light, bringing light to a situation. Let's see if we've got anything that would be... Oh, here we go. Right, I need someone to put up the name plaque because every baby has a name plaque in their room. Would you like to come and put the name plaque up here? And we need to find some source of light, that counsellor bringing light. Oh, look, just so happens, since this is a royal baby, I feel a bit like Mary Poppins when I do this. Ah, what do you reckon? There's a hook up there. Can you pop it on that hook? See the nail there? Thank you. What do you think? Do you think it goes? Ta-da! No, doesn't really, does it? You guys are better at this than me. Light, I've got another idea. Hang on, something I prepared earlier. Better? Good. Oh, but you will. All right, another name. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty Mighty God, that's where you heard it. Excellent. Mighty God. Let's see if we've got a name tag for that. Yes, we do. Could you go and pop that one up? On the second panel, there's another little hook on there. Mighty God. Okay, how are we going to have dressed this baby in something mighty? Okay, I've got a few ideas. You can tell me. Look, royal purple. No, okay, no good. What about Superman cape? No. Too big? Too big, yeah, okay, no good. What about a simple swaddling cloth? Yes. Let's get that ready. All right.
Oh, I like it. Okay, third name,
Thank you, Carol. That's not far off what Carol wears to work, aside from the glasses. Fantastic. Hey, great to have you here with us this Christmas Eve. My name's Todd. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's great to see a bunch of you familiar faces, but also many people visiting. Hey, Kai, how are you, mate? So I'm going to bring tonight a short message on this amazing scripture from Isaiah 9, which in many ways is a royal birth announcement. So before I do that, let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you so much this time of the year for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you came to us in flesh. You came to be with us and among us. We thank you for the gift of life that comes through Jesus. And I pray that as we open up your word this evening, that we may have an encounter with him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've heard quite a special birth announcement tonight from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. Quite a famous Christmas passage. It was kind of making me think of birth announcements today. You know, when my cousins were born, when we were little, before kind of internet time, you'd get a little postcard picture in the mail and it was super exciting. It might be the first picture you've ever seen of them. I'd have the date of birth, the weight, the family kind of gathered around the baby. These days it's much easier. We just go to Facebook, don't we? And you know those birth announcements that you see on Facebook, they're getting a little bit over the top, aren't they? I mean, you see those ones where they set up the baby almost like an installation art piece. It's there in a designer swaddling cloth, little bow in the hair, rose petals sprinkled around it. Usually there's kind of some custom-made placard with the name and the date of birth and their weight, kind of like this one that I found. It says, Jesse Wilder, If you don't know me, that's my son in the front row here. His little custom surfboard from when he was born. He's got his name there, his middle name, his date of birth, his weight. And it's actually the exact length that he was when he was born. No pressure to become a surfer there, but we go a bit overboard on our birth announcements, don't we? Isaiah 9 is a royal birth announcement, announcing the arrival of this baby boy. And I know that Isaiah wasn't seeking to write this kind of modern day Facebook birth announcement, but if we actually compare this announcement to those that we see in our kind of social media news feeds, we get a sense of the distinctive splendor of this particular baby. So a few things set apart this birth announcement that we find in the book of Isaiah. Firstly, it is sent really, really early. You know, some birth announcements go out on Facebook like 2 minutes after the baby's born. You're like, just clean things up a little bit there. Some come out a few days later, depending on how much sleep the parents are getting. But generally, they go out after the baby is born. But not this one. It comes 700 years early. So why does Isaiah break the news of this birth so early? This announcement was meant to bring hope. Hope to a people that were in great distress and darkness. If you read the last verse of Isaiah chapter 8, just before chapter 9, which we're reading from tonight, we see these words. They will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. Distress, darkness, and fearful gloom. Isaiah is actually describing the state of the people of Israel at this point in their history. Israel, the people who the prophet was writing to, they were literally on the brink of total annihilation. You see, there was the Assyrian Empire, and they were amassing great armies on their border. This tiny nation, Israel, had this global superpower at their doorstep preparing to invade them and overrun them and take them into captivity. And so you could imagine, it was a time of widespread fear and anxiety and uncertainty about the future amongst the Israelites. As the prophet Isaiah describes, they were a people shrouded in darkness. This word darkness repeats itself throughout chapters 8 and 9. And the Hebrew translation of the word is literally death's shadow. This is a people, to kind of use the words of Psalm 23, who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It was a time of great distress. It was a time when people would have been asking, where is God? Where is God in the midst of our fear? Where is God in the midst of our pain? Where is God amongst our distress and our suffering and the conflict all around us? Where is God in our hurting and broken world? And many people today, perhaps even you, are asking that same question. Where is God? Where is God? And it's to this people, walking in darkness, in fear, in uncertainty, that the prophet Isaiah speaks these words of hope. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 4 says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." I mean, do you hear those words? You've shattered the yoke. You've broken the bar that was on the people's backs. You've snapped the rod of their oppressor. It's this language of victory, of defeating enemies, of freedom from captivity, of overcoming the forces of darkness. And I think the Israelites would have been hearing these words and they would have thought, finally, finally, God's going to do something. God hears us, he is with us, and they're probably thinking, let's go and kick some Assyrian butt. He is on our side. But the prophet keeps writing, and at this point in the passage, the language he uses takes a really unexpected turn. So how will God bring about this great victory over the forces of evil and darkness? Well, verse 6 says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." That is not what you would expect. How is freedom won? How is oppression overcome? How are the captives set free? How are the forces of darkness and evil defeated? Through the birth of a baby boy. Now, Jesse, our little boy down the front here, he's 1.5 and he's just started to enjoy wrestling on the carpet. But let me tell you, I win every time. So who is this baby who defeats empires, who brings freedom from oppression, who brings victory over evil, who lights the darkness? Well, again, let's look back to the words of this birth announcement in Isaiah 9, and we soon notice that he's no ordinary kid. Firstly, he's royalty. Verse 6 says, "The government shall be on his shoulders." Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end." So this baby is a king, a ruler. Another thing that's peculiar and different about this particular baby king is that he has not just one name, but four. We can see them hung up there: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When you include all the words, there's eight names. It took me and Eliza about 6 months to figure out just two names. But there's eight names here, and they're not just names. They actually tell us about what this baby will do. It's really like a kind of list of qualifications. Now imagine I was writing Jesse's Facebook birth announcement and I said, "Welcome to the world, Jesse Wilder Darvis, born 13th of June 2018, 3.1 kilograms, amazing piano player, professional surfer, astrophysics PhD, company CEO." We don't list accomplishments and qualifications on a baby's birth announcement because there aren't any, other than amazing thumb sucker, professional drawer, PhD in filling up nappies with poo. But again, this baby is different. He's called Wonderful Counselor. This kind of gives us a sense that he will be this supernatural source of extraordinary wisdom. This is good news for those who are lost, for those who are wandering in darkness, for those who need guidance. He will be called Mighty God. Again, we get this sense that he will be divinely strong and powerful, which is amazing news for those who are weak, for those who are defeated, for those who are oppressed and held captive. He will be called Everlasting Father. He will care for his people forever as a father cares for his children. Amazing news for those who are alone, for those who are pushed to the side, unappreciated, unloved, marginalized. And finally, he'll be called Prince of Peace. This king will bring deep healing and reconciliation and restoration to our world. He'll bring right relationships. Amazing news for for all of us who lack peace, peace with one another, peace with our families, peace with our creation, peace with our world, peace between countries, peace with God. There's one more thing to recognize about this baby. See, these names, they're no kind of ordinary names, are they? They are the names of God himself. You know, in this book, Isaiah, in the Old Testament, in verse 28, chapter 28, verse 29, it says, God is wonderful in counsel. The very next chapter from here, Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah refers to God with that title, Mighty God. And throughout the Bible, God is referred to as our Heavenly Father, the Father of His people. And of course, only God is everlasting and eternal. These are the names of God Himself. So it seems that this baby is not just royalty in an earthly sense. He is not just another worldly king. This baby is the King of Kings, the King of creation, the King of the universe. The wonderful, mighty, everlasting God Himself. The light of the world coming to His people in the most unexpected of ways. Not in power, not in victory, not as some empire-crushing warrior, but as a baby. And of course, 700 years after Isaiah pens these words of hope to a people in darkness and distress, that baby is born. And in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, we read the story of the birth of Jesus. And Matthew quotes Isaiah, this book we're reading from tonight, so that we can see that this baby is the baby Isaiah was speaking about, that promised future king. Let's read briefly from Matthew chapter 1, from verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged in marriage to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and was unwilling to disgrace her publicly, he resolved to divorce her quietly. But after he had pondered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to embrace Mary as your wife. For the one conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin will be with child, and he will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In case he didn't get enough names already from Isaiah, he gets another one. We sang it before. This word, this name, Emmanuel, perhaps the most beautiful of all the names given to our Savior Jesus. And what does it mean? God with us. In the person of Jesus, God comes to us. The all-powerful King of the universe, mighty God, everlasting Father, the one to whom all praise and honor and glory and worship is due, steps off his throne, stoops down into the darkness and the distress and the brokenness and the mess of this world, his world. He comes, as we see, in total humility. He empties himself of his power. He's born not in some palace, not in the halls of power, not in the capital city, Jerusalem, but in some backwater country town, in an animal trough, to a scared teenage mom. His arrival is heralded not by kings and princes and priests, but by a bunch of poor shepherds and what appear to be some group of pagan magic men from the east. Have you ever thought, like we sing about it, but have you ever thought about the circumstances of Jesus' birth and how strange they are for a divine king? And yet this is the beauty of the Christmas story. It's the story of Emmanuel, God with us. It's God making himself available to all people, It's God identifying with the poor, the lost, the least, the broken. It's a message of hope to those walking in darkness and distressed. It's the good news of hope spoken to Israel by Isaiah 700 years earlier. But it is even better news to us today, because this Son has been born. The Son has been given. The King has arrived. The light has pierced the darkness. And he sits on David's throne. He rules now, today, with justice and righteousness. His kingdom of love and justice and peace has come, and it is available to all who would seek him and bow their knee to him. So for those of us who feel lost, anxious about our world, who need guidance, we find in Jesus a wonderful counselor, a lamp to our paths. To those of us who are feeling weak and afraid and are just facing battles that we can't possibly win, we find in Jesus a mighty God. To those on the fringes, to those left behind, to those who are lonely, to those who are pushed aside on the outer, we find in Jesus an everlasting, compassionate, loving Father. And for a world divided by conflict, a world of us versus them, a world of broken, shattered relationships, we find in Jesus a Prince of Peace. Jesus brings peace not just between people, but most importantly, between us and God. In fact, he came to this earth to defeat the greatest oppressor, the greatest enemy that his people faced. That enemy was not Assyria in the time of Isaiah. That enemy was not the might of Rome in Jesus' day. It wasn't any earthly power or nation or ruler. That enemy was and always has been sin. Humankind's rebellion against this good and loving God. And so Matthew 1 says this: he will save his people from their sins. Jesus ultimately came to restore our relationship to God, to free us from our captivity, the sin which had cut us off from relationship with God, the sin that had separated us from his presence, the sin that brings division between people, that brings hatred and selfishness and injustice that we see spreading like a disease throughout our world. Jesus came to save us. Born in humility, he would also die a humiliating death, paying the price for our brokenness, being raised to life so that we might have eternal life in him. John 3:16 says about this amazing gift of Jesus: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Reconciliation, peace with God, peace with each other, peace for a broken world. It is a message that we desperately need to hear. And my prayer, our prayer as a church, is that of all the gifts you will receive at Christmas, that the biggest surprise you will receive is Jesus himself, this unlikely King who is with you, who is with us, who is for you, who loves you, who came to give you life and life to the full. That is the gift of this boy who was born. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, we thank you for pouring yourself out, for stepping down in humility, taking on flesh, inhabiting our brokenness, so that you might be with us, amongst us, beside us, and that ultimately you might save us from the oppression of sin and death. Lord, we thank you for this amazing gift that comes to us at Christmas, and I pray that we might receive it as this beautiful surprise. Peace with you, peace with one another, peace on earth. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.